Hey everybody, it's been some time. A lot's happened. Last movie I think we reviewed was, Alex had reminded me, was Deadpool and Wolverine. Mm-hmm. And a lot's happened since then. Alex got married.
And David got engaged.
You know, a lot of life things have changed. Yeah, but we finally were able to find time to review something because a lot of things... we're coming up. A lot of movies came up, but I think it was like we just either didn't have time to review it or it just wasn't a movie that was really interesting enough for us to want to review.
Yeah, it didn't really pique our interest.
Yeah, like, did you see the newest Venom movie?
No.
I saw it. It was not no. worth it. It was, yeah, I fell asleep, honestly.
Oof, David. I don't know about that one, man.
Yeah, we're here for the new show. On, it's not HBO Max anymore. It's Max.
It's just Max. Yeah.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that it's Max for Creature Commandos.
Creature Commandos. Which
I pulled it up on. I couldn't find the actual synopsis, like the official release synopsis, but I'm gonna read off what it says on Wikipedia.
Go for it.
So it says here. Creature Commandos is an American adult animated television series based on a DC Comics eponymous team. Produced by James Gunn, DC Studios, and Warner Brothers Animation, it is the first television series and first installment to the DC universe. It focuses on a Black Ops team of monsters assembled by Amanda Waller. All episodes were written and created by series creator James Gunn, with Dean Laurie as showrunner and Yves Bollack Fitzgerald as supervising director. I don't know who those people are, but I'm sorry if I butcher their names. It says here also the premise. Mm-hmm. After the events of The Suicide Squad in 2021 and the first season of Peacemaker in 2022, Amanda Waller assembles a Black Ops team of monsters called the Creature Commandos, led by General Rick Flagg Sr. Yeah. So... right as the time of our recording on December 15th, three episodes are currently out.
Yep.
We literally just watched the third episode, both of us, on our own time, like right before this recording.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, I mean, did you want to start off, Alex, with at least with episode one first, like your thoughts and how you and what you thought about it?
Yeah, I mean, episode one, I really liked it. So at the beginning, I got confused with it because I knew it took place after Suicide Squad, but when I saw Rick Flair, I was like, what the fuck? I thought he was dead, right? But then it was like, oh, he's a senior. Oh. And, okay, so I do like how they're tying it in with the Suicide Squad live-action movie, Peacemaker, presumably, with the live-action TV show, and now Creature Commandos, which is, you know, a cartoon. An animated adaptation. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I saw an interview with James Gunn recently. So my understanding is what is canon is what they mention. If they don't mention it, you can't assume it's canon. So they have also already said, like, with Peacemaker, that essentially is canon, and Suicide Squad, because they mentioned Project Starfish or whatever, that's canon.
Cool, yeah. Especially.
The only thing that's not canon is, like, anything that's reference to the Justice League, because the Justice League does not exist. Yeah. But yeah, another interesting thing is because a lot of the actors, so the deal is whoever plays these characters in animation will play them in live action. That's if these characters make it through in this whole series.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is essentially their new Suicide Squad creation.
Seems like it.
And funny story to me is just because the guy that plays what's his name, Rick Flagg Sr.
Yeah,
he is played by I just forgot his name right now. Let me pull it up. Also, my headphones just cut out.
Dude,
give me a second.
Okay, technical difficulties. David's gotta get some new headphones.
They just popped, cut out, like disconnected. So I'm trying to figure out what it is. Okay. If it's dead, then I'm gonna switch to my other headphones.
See, gotta go analog like I do.
Give me a second. Yes, I'll switch to the Corsair headphones.
Ooh, the fancy ones.
These will be charged.
See, that's why you don't go battery. Okay, keep this all in. While he frantically searches for his new Corsair Adobe Atmos headphones, which are probably like, what, $70? Charging us $500 headphones. Funny enough, those Corsair headphones also have a battery. So let's hope they're charged. Bum, bum, bum. Wow, David, okay, he's got it. He's close. Hey, well, now we're both wearing gaming headphones. The G. Huh.
And let me change the settings on here really quick.
Hey, almost there.
Input.
Input lag.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
All right, cool.
They disconnected. I heard like one end go off and then the other end like, poof. I was like, oh, I'm fucked.
Dude, you should have charged them.
No, it's just the AirPod Maxes. I think it's just because they're a little older now. The battery's just not as great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should get analog because it's all going to have a cable.
So Rick Flagg Sr.
Mm-hmm.
is played by Frank Grillo in the show.
Yeah, in the show.
Who was in Captain America, the Winter Soldier. He played Crossbones.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So it's fun fact, I think it's interesting to hear because I saw an interview. He said essentially the reason he kind of like said yes to this was the world that James Gunn was building. He was very interested. But also because he was interested in the idea that he wasn't going to just be a one-off character and that he essentially is going to be able to appear in other shows or televisions or films, animated or whatnot.
Yeah,
that now whoever... What?
Throughout.
Yeah, yeah. So whoever like puts Rick Flagg Sr. in there, he's in. But also I find it funny because Frank Grillo, I think he's like 5'10". I think his height's like, yeah, he's like 5'10". And then what's the name of the guy that played Frank, Rick Flagg Jr.?
Jr.? I don't know his name.
Let me pull it up really quick.
Pull it up.
Joel Kinnaman.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Kinnaman is 6'2". Well, so it's like. So I'm just like, he's so much taller.
Well, I mean, that happens. I can see that.
Yeah. No, I think it's just because whenever I see Frank Grillo and I imagine him comparing the like body structure and everything compared to Joel Kinnaman, he just feels a bit more stocky.
Yeah.
Than Kinnaman. Because Kinnaman, I think he's like, I think the guy's like, yeah, he's Swedish. Born and raised in Sweden.
Oh, so I didn't know
tall.
That. Yeah.
It's a long tall. Yeah, so it was just some fun. I thought it was just something that was a little funny to me when I thought about it, like as the actors.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought I do like that they mentioned, you know, he's essentially kind of like, at least for Rick Flagg Sr.
Yeah.
Like he's still kind of dealing with the loss of his son. Yeah. And then is it me or is it interesting that because they introduced in the beginning of the show, episode one, like, oh, here are all these people. Like, we're able to use them because they're not human.
Yeah.
So it's not Task Force X. Right?
Yeah.
Is it not Task Force X or is it something else?
No, that's Deadpool, dude.
Oh, then what is... Because I know they have X in theirs as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is, but... It's right. They always borrow something.
Let me see. I'm going to look at it really quick. Task Force X.
Yeah, you're right.
It is Task Force X. But at the same time, when she said that, I was like, but King Shark, like, was he human? Or was he just some shark guy?
Yeah, what happened to him, though?
I don't know. But that was something that I had to think about, because they're saying, like, oh, we can't use incarcerated criminals to do our bidding. So we're using, like, we can't use humans. So we're not using humans this time. I was like,
She did mention that Weasel survived.
Yeah, so Weasel.
Weasel.
But I'm like, okay, I can kind of see what they're saying, but at the same time, like, there's a, like, who was it? Dr. Phosphorus. I think he has a backstory where he at least was a human.
Yeah, he was a human.
Yeah, so, I mean, technically, they're still human. Well,
but he's not anymore. I mean, Bride, I guess. She was a human.
I mean, she was a human. She was kind of more so stitched together with other human body parts.
Her brain was living.
That is true.
Yeah.
But so I like the introduction of the characters in the prison.
Yeah.
But I did find it interesting that they don't have a bomb in their brains anymore, or like in their necks.
Yeah, I did find that interesting. It's a shock.
So they're definitely not trying to kill anyone off. Intentionally trying to kill people.
Exactly. And that's probably why they're like, okay, let's not do that. Because you remember the first, the first one where they did kill, like, Strider off.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That was like, yeah. At least with a shock, you can shock him throughout.
Oh, that's true. I like the introduction of, like, essentially the team.
Yeah.
Weasel seemed like Weasel from the movies. Exactly. Weasel's how he Weasel. Was. G.I. Robot. What did you think of G.I. Robot?
Interesting.
Yes.
I liked. It gives it more variety. Let's go with that.
I thought it was interesting when they introduced him, and he's like, he's like, are you a Nazi?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's all he's programmed for.
Yeah. That is true. And then, Dr. Phosphorus, who's played by Alan Tudyk.
Which I love.
Who also voices, there's a Harley Quinn animated show.
Yeah.
He voices Clayface in that show.
That's funny.
And right as of this recording, James Gunn already announced that they're working on a Clayface project. I don't know if it's animated or what, but it's going to be part of the DCU.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And Alan Tudyk already, announced that he accidentally revealed that he voices Clayface in Creature Commandos.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so that means if logic is correct, he could be playing Clayface in whatever show or live action thing that they do.
I mean, I can see that. My thing is, okay, so you know how the Harley Quinn Clayface is?
Yeah.
Is it going to be that same portrayal? Or the same personality? Ooh, no.
Alan Tudyk already said, like, the way he approaches this version of Clayface is going to be different than how he did with the Harley Quinn TV show.
All right, I'm excited.
It's not going to be as comedic.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was an interesting approach for that one.
Yeah, and then there's Nina, who's like, she's kind of amphibious humanoid person.
Oh, yeah, you know, right? Hellboy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like the sidekick.
Yeah.
Does
the sidekick wear like a fish suit? Or he has like something around his neck, right?
He has something around his neck.
Yeah. The bride. Almost forgot her.
Definitely, we talked about her too.
Yeah, and then obviously they're led by Rick Flagg Sr.
Yeah.
And the whole, so they are, episode one, you find out, like, there's a princess from a country called Pokolistan. Yep. They're really leaning into how the DC Universe comics, they have made up countries.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, so I like that. And so they're going to Pokolistan because Cersei, who they reveal in episode one, is an Amazonian, which, from my understanding, based on what they showed in the first episode, Amazonians are a totally new concept to people still. Like, no one really knows where they really came from. And they say, basically, Cersei is trying to become the new leader of Pakolistan, right? She's pretty trying to overthrow them. And she wants... Well, they don't really explain why she wants to overthrow, but I think it has to do something with Themyscira.
I mean, probably. And also, it's like, okay, her followers are pretty... You know... they follow. They're pretty good at following.
Yeah. But yeah, so they introduced us to the characters. I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm trying to think, because when you first meet the princess with the team,
I
thought it was kind of weird to see how much the princess was like really like he was really into Rick Flag Sr.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is getting awkward. This is weird.
Yeah. I was like,
I'm sure, obviously, stuff like this happens in real life. But at the same time, to see it on the camera, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, when I was watching the first two episodes, I was on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That must have been awkward.
Very. I did not realize how far they would go. And I'm like, it's a good thing I have a window seat. Just gonna
turn the screen. And in episode, I mean, if we're gonna just talk about episode 1 and 2 in general as a whole, since that's how they released it.
Yeah.
I did like there's. So how do you feel about Dr. Phosphorus right now? I feel like it's weird. Like, you can't really trust him, because there was that moment where he tried to break into Rick Flag Sr.'s room.
Yeah.
To get the device that has the that electrocutes them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this huge, this fight that happens in the castle, because they stay overnight at the princess's castle.
Yeah.
And the whole time they were fighting, I was like, how the fuck is he punching him? Because if he grabs you and that already fucking burns, like, just punching him would hurt too.
Yes.
Yeah, I that's just something that I had thought about when I was watching it. I was like, because the whole time he was fighting, I was so worried. Like, I already knew, so I don't know if you saw any images that were already released.
No.
Rick Flag Sr. is in the Superman movie, which takes place after Creature Commandos. So I knew he was going to survive no matter what. But at the same time, knowing that Dr. Phosphorus was like, you know, he just made of like acid and stuff. Like
Phosphorus.
Yeah.
Phosphorus.
Like he could burn you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how do you fucking fight this guy?
Yeah, you'd need like a pan. Like you're not gonna barefist him.
No. But is there anything was there anything in the first two episodes that caught your eye?
I mean, I really like the music.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Music, I feel there's something that I mean, it's kinda like, I don't know how to describe the sound.
So it's like East European.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially in the intro.
Yeah. So I've listened to the artist before. And so when I was watching it, I was like, oh, that's this guy. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I just totally forgot about. Claire, because I watched the first three episodes with Claire. She really likes how DC, like when it pops up on the show, it's just DC comics and it flips to Superman.
Yeah.
It's and then subtle. It just fades.
Yeah.
Yeah, Claire said she likes that a lot more than
Marvel
right now, because Marvel, like, you wait like a couple seconds.
It's got to go through this. Oh, look at all our movies that we've done.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah. I was telling Claire, like, I like that, you know, the DC symbol flips and it's Superman, because he is essentially, like, to me, when I see that, I interpret it as he is what built this universe.
And it's and the old Superman.
Yeah. And I also like it because it shows to me with James Gunn and like Peter Safran in charge of DCU, they're really hearkening back to like the golden age of DC comics. Like the old age of comics where the heroes weren't just trying to be edgy for the sake of edginess.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I liked it. I thought it was like a nice callback, a nice kind of reflection of history.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah. They've really only showed us like Rick Flag Sr. a little bit.
Yep.
They told like in the first episodes, a little bit of Dr. Phosphorus, just more so like can't really trust them too much.
And the bride. That kind of conflict in there too.
Yeah. Whoa, what was that?
You need that kind of conflict in there too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because they're not just gonna go willy nilly. They're just not gonna go along willingly. So they're just like, okay, a little conflict, and then in the future they will work together more.
I will say, like, kind of the comedy and the action and whatnot, like the drama, first watching took me a couple seconds to kind of like get with.
Yeah.
I think it's more so for me just because, like, you know, we've seen shows made by Marvel animated or whatnot, and then we've seen shows made by like Invincible on Amazon. So I wasn't really sure, like, knowing that it was James Gunn and having seen what he did live action like the Suicide Squad and Peacemaker, I wasn't really too sure how his type of like writing and comedy would transfer over to animation.
Oh, right.
So at first for me, the beats were kind of like everywhere. Like the first episode, at least it felt like things were moving really fast, a lot of cuts and stuff. And it was kind of hard for me to follow along. But as it went on, it was easier to just kind of like feel the story.
Yeah. He's getting the groove of things.
Yeah. And it definitely feels more like Invincible in sense of like gore, action, and comedy.
I mean, they are cursing.
Yeah. It feels like, yeah, like Invincible slash The Boys.
Oh yeah, The Boys.
Because it feels like that kind of has that gruesomeness of The Boys. Kind of, because the comedy itself makes me think. I'm just not Family Guy. Obviously not Family Guy. But something about the comedy is just kind of not. I don't know how to describe it. But it's definitely different from what like how it is on Invincible.
Oh yeah, because Invincible's more serious tone.
Which it's kind of interesting because it's produced. Invincible is produced by Seth Rogen.
That's pretty funny. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. I think it's really the comedy that took me time to like get with.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it. And then they also kind of in the first episode, two episodes, they introduce you to the bride and her backstory of how she was made, which I have a lot of questions now because when I was talking to Claire about this, I was like, so you're telling me Frankenstein and the bride exist in this universe?
Yeah.
So they're not like some fairy tale story that you could just say like off the, like you can just say as a, like a backhand compliment or, you know, whatever, like how Marvel would do it. Like, do you remember in what was the Marvel movie with Kumail Nanjiani? Forgot the name of it right now.
The Marvels?
Not the Marvel. It had the guy that it had one of the guys from two of the guys from Game of Thrones.
Oh, you're talking about the Eternals.
Yeah, the Eternals. So, like,
and that one had
Cersei. The Eternals. Well, in the Eternals, remember that kid comes in like, oh wow, you're like Superman. Oh, is that little kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, like those little backhand compliments, so you know they're not part of this universe, right? Like they exist, but they're just comic book characters in that universe. Yeah. So here, like Frankenstein and the Bride aren't just like
a novel.
Characters. Yeah, they're not just like from a novel. They are real.
Yeah.
Which I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around. Like, that's kind of weird.
Why?
I don't know. It's because when I think of Frankenstein, I think of like Universal films, right? Yeah. And how he's it's like I to me it's just such a different IP that it's a part of this universe.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think, I mean, that IP is probably in the public domain.
True.
Yeah.
That is true. I think it's just because I go to Universal Studios a lot. So, like, there, I was like, oh, we made the first. Yeah. But, so you learning about the bride's backstory was very interesting, I think.
Yeah. Really heavy on there. And again. I watched it on the plane.
Like, you find out she essentially was made to be Frankenstein's wife. Like, that was her sole purpose.
Yes.
And I also found it, wasn't there some, because there's a point in the show where, because the bride and Nina leave. Nina really just follows the bride because she's like, what are you doing? We shouldn't be leaving.
Pretty much.
A bit of a goody two-shoes.
Yep.
And when they get to this mansion that's like all boarded up, If I remind me, there's an old like babushka lady.
Oh yeah.
That like picks up the phone and calls
Frankenstein.
Okay. Yeah. So I remember that. So he calls Frankenstein. And then you have the bride walking through this house. And that's when they kind of like start off this background story of like how she was created.
Yeah, pretty much. Her backstory.
And she, you can tell from the get-go, like in the beginning when she first meets Frankenstein is kind of like the obsessive, like not even boyfriend. He's like,
well, yeah, because he doesn't know how to act and he's been wanting a bride. Now he has one. He's like, oh, okay, great. I can do this. But it's too lovey. He's love-bombing.
Oh, yeah. That's the word, love bombing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she doesn't like... I don't even think she likes him from the beginning, though. Like, she freaks out when she sees him.
Well, that's because he's not being gentle.
Yeah.
He's being selfish.
And then they kind of show her backstory of her... While this is going on, while they're gone, by the way, I totally forgot to mention... Rick Flag Sr., because he got into a fight with Dr. Phosphorus. Dr. Phosphorus trying to grab the controller, going back to that.
Mm-hmm.
He gets stitched up by the princess, which then the princess makes her move. Because Rick Flag Sr. is like, oh, you know, like he talks about his son, about how if you had met my son, like you two would have gotten along so well. And she goes, oh, I normally like older men.
Which I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And then she straight up. Like, he tries to stop her, and then she straight up, like, gets into his face and just starts, like, making out.
I mean, I make
and I love that scene where the soldier comes by, like, where's the princess? I need to talk to the princess.
Oh, that's
like,
not now.
Yeah, like, she's a little busy right now, buddy. Like, Dr. Phosphorus. Who else was outside in front of, like, in front of the door? Was it
Weasel.
G.I. Robot? And
Weasel.
Was it Weasel? Yeah, they're all just outside the door. Like, and apparently the news was that the bride and Nina were gone, right? Yeah. I think that was what the soldier wanted to tell them. And so and then while that's going on, like while Nina and the bride are at the castle, Rick Flag's getting busy.
Oh yeah.
And funny story on that, I saw in an interview, James Gunn said he had Frank Grillo, who voices Rick Flag Sr., right? Mm-hmm. And the person that voices the princess, Princess Ilana Rostovic, is Maria Bakalova. She voices, do you remember in Guardians 3, the dog that talks?
Oh, yeah.
The space dog. What's the name? Yeah, I'm trying to look. It's Cosmo.
Cosmo.
She voices Cosmo.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. So he had her and Frank Grillo basically like record themselves as if they're making out. Like like making like they're kissing their hands and whatnot, trying to, like, just for hours, just making that noise. So apparently they said that was a very interesting experience.
I mean,
but yeah, so while they're doing their business, the bride is trying to find a necklace, right?
Yep.
In this mansion, because you get some flashbacks. It shows her trying to learn human interaction and learn how to speak. She's being taught by, is it Dr. Frankenstein? Is that what we call him?
Yeah.
Victor Frankenstein. So, but as he's trying to teach her, you can tell there's like,
oh yeah, he's spinning his boobs on her.
Yeah, there's some tension here. Like, not tension, but like romantic tension. Like, yeah, for sure nice. There's some stuff going on. There's
some canoodling.
Yes. And then there, and then he gives her a necklace, which has like a red diamond in the center. And it cuts, and then later on, throughout some more flashbacks, as they're walking around trying to find this necklace, it cuts to them actually having sex.
Yeah, which again, I was on a plane.
Yes. Wait, did you have headphones on, or were you doing?
Thankfully, yeah. What do you think I am doing? I'm not a monster. Of course, I had headphones on.
Yeah, they had headphones on, which is great because that it was super loud. When I was watching it with Claire, I was like, this is awkward.
You're like, hey babe, you in the mood?
No, I was like, I don't know. Whenever I see sex scenes on TV, and especially when other people are around me, feels so awkward.
Even with your fiance?
It feels like I'm watching it with my parents, in that sense. It's like that feeling of when it comes on and you don't expect it, and you're watching it with your parents. You're kind of like, oh. Yeah.
Again, all these sex scenes in here, you don't see it coming, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, they're alluding something, and then next frame, next scene, it's like, oh,
yeah,
no, they're naked now. I was like, what?
But they also show that when Victor Frankenstein and the bride are getting to business, Frankenstein is like standing there with flowers and everything. Yeah, and he's watching the whole thing happen.
I felt for him, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, I see. It says on Wikipedia his name is Eric Frankenstein, who also voiced by David Harbour.
Yeah, Stranger Things.
Yeah, who also is in Marvel.
Yeah, Red Guardian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
would be interesting. So, I mean, if Frankenstein makes it through the series and doesn't die at all, there's a possibility if they bring him back for live action. David Harbour.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so he sees this whole thing happen, Eric Frankenstein. And then the next cutscene we have, like, to the flashback, what was the bride bringing? She had a gift for Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah, I don't remember what was
the gift, right? But she had something.
She has something.
She comes in, she's like, oh, I found something to give to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear Eric Frankenstein, David Harbour, like, he was getting in the way between us.
Yeah, little boy.
He's like kind of crazy-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that he straight up just like ripped Victor Frankenstein like almost in half.
Almost.
And just hung him upside down on the...
Yeah, he totally contorted him, his body.
Yeah.
And whatnot. I was like, oof.
Yeah, so that was intense.
Yeah, but I can't really blame him for doing that because it's like, okay, that was Dr. Victor made the bride for Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And it looked like it's like Victor didn't even help Frankenstein.
That's true.
Being like, hey, I'll be a bro. I'm going to help you get this, get her on your side. Nah, he just told you. It's like, oh, now I'm just going to fuck her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's true. All right. Yeah, so that kind of it shows like from that ever since then, like they do get into a fight, right?
Yeah.
The bride and Frankenstein. And I forgot how she gets him off of him. Like, how she wins, essentially, to get away.
Well, she, I mean, but, the fire broke out, and she kind of just ran away.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And then the next cutscene is, like, them running through time. She's trying to, he's trying to capture her.
It's like a montage of, like, their lives throughout the centuries of how she's just trying to live her normal life.
Yep.
And he just constantly is finding her, love bombing her, trying to get her to like... And he even tries to force himself onto her a couple times. Yeah. Like, they show, like, he's trying to kiss her and stuff. But so that, like, seeing that, I felt really, really bad for the bride. Because I feel like she just wants to be alone. Just wants to be left alone.
Yeah, she is a person. She didn't want to be created. She didn't ask for that.
Yeah.
Frankenstein was just being selfish. She'd be like, oh, I should have a bride. Create me a bride. But he's not, you know, considering her feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't really try to win her over.
Yeah. And while they're at the castle, at this mansion, Victor Frankenstein's mansion, they essentially get ambushed. Yep. Is that the correct word? Yeah. Because they were being followed the whole time by Cersei's men.
Yeah.
So they get ambushed, and then Cersei comes in, and I thought it was cool to see the bride fight Cersei.
Yeah, that was
like just kind of going all out fighting. And as this fight's going on, we cut back to the castle where, like, Doc Foster's like, oh, by the way, like, the bride and Nina are gone. And Rick's like, what? He's like, why did you tell me? He's like, hey, I was trying to be a bro.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so they essentially try to drive off to pick them up, and which is when they find out that there's a fight going on over there with Cersei and her men, the bride, and Nina.
Yeah.
Yeah, so episode 2, like, this is all the way obviously leading into episode 2 already, but with episode 2, with that whole thing happening, as the fight goes on, you think the bride is going to win.
I thought she was going to win.
Because she got on top of Cersei, was, like, wailing on her.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I don't know what fucking magic was used, but, like, she turns her arms into, like, balloon arms. Like, Cersei turns the bride's arms to, like, those weird balloon arms. And the bride's like, what the fuck?
That was hilarious.
So that, and then the episode essentially ends with Nina, her, because she has to have water to survive. So she has this kind of water suit. The suit gets cracked open. The helmet, the glass helmet gets broken, cracked and everything. So she can't breathe. She's on the floor. The bride gets kicked off the
balcony.
Does she get kicked off? Or does she, I forgot if she gets kicked off or she like loses grip.
I don't remember.
But she falls off the balcony. Mm-hmm. I thought she was going to get pierced because there's like a little church thing or something on top of the roof. I thought she was going to land on that, but she lands on the floor.
Yeah.
And her and Nina are laying there. She says to Nina, I'm sorry. Right? And Nina's response was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then that ends. And I remember sitting there with episode 2 and I was like, they didn't die. Oh, they couldn't have died. Right?
Right, yeah, no.
And then episode 3, the team arrives to the house. And they come in, they're on the floor, and I can't remember because we literally just saw it. Mm-hmm. There was no one in the house. It was a decoy.
Yeah.
Right? Except for the bride and Nina. It was all a decoy. Like, they literally tied up the bride and they put Nina in a bathtub with water and put wires around so she couldn't get out. But this whole episode was like really about G.I. Robot and his backstory.
Yeah, him having, like, flashbacks.
Yeah. Which is interesting because they do point out that he's essentially an AI who doesn't really realize he's an AI yet.
Yeah, because he's not really programmed to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, Nazi.
Yeah.
You just kill.
Yeah. He's like, are you a Nazi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you see, with G.I. Robot, his whole backstory, like, him in World War II, mm-hmm. him with soldiers. I also pointed out with Claire, like, it's really interesting to see this because they're showing, like, while the DCU had similar, historical moments that happened in their world with that, like, with our actual, world, yeah. there's some slight changes in the history, like, G.I. Robot and... Like you see later in episode 3, some of the soldiers of the princess's men are like literally flying around on jetpack in the metallic armors.
Yeah.
And I sat there watching, thinking to myself, like, how would you pull this off in live action and not make it look funny?
That's probably why they're like, oh, animation.
But you see G.I. Robot's backstory, which I feel like he's a little unhinged, G.I. Robot.
Well, yeah.
Like, he kills all the Nazis, and they show, like, him with the soldiers of World War II. Like, they're celebrating. He seems very happy to be in that moment. And then it cuts to, like, later flashback where he's getting introduced to the TV, to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, did you check everyone's backgrounds here, like, in the audience? He's like, no, why would we? He's like, they could be Nazis. He's like, why would they be a Nazi? No one here is a Nazi. And then the G.I. Robot's like, that's what a Nazi would say. Yeah. And I got so scared for that interviewer. I'd be like, bro, like, I don't want a job anymore. Like,
dude, honestly.
I would have listened like, oh, let's cut this.
Yeah. It's like, no.
Yeah. And then they show when they're doing this talk show thing with G.I. Robot, there's a professor that's talking to, like, a general or something. Oh, he's interesting because he seems like he's an AI.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, the general says, like, G.I. Robot was made by scientists for the military, but we're going to decommission him after this. And the scientist, when he starts trying to study G.I. Robot, and he said he was trying to create new automatons, my first thought was the Red Tornado.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let me see. Red Tornado.
I forgot about that.
Let me see if I can find the background of who created him.
Because, last time I saw Red Tornado was, the Justice League animated series.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's because it says the villain was T.O. Morrow.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow.
Oh, God.
But I don't think that was the name of the scientist that was studying G.I. Robot.
Right.
But that was my first thought when I heard he's like, oh, I'm trying to create new automaton. My first thought was, Red Tornado. But you see that interaction with society, and I'm like, G.I. Robot should not be in front of people.
No.
For sure. Because.
And later we'll see why.
Oh, yeah. Because they do that cut, the next flashback of, like, he essentially is in, like, a thrift shop. Or not a thrift shop. Like, what are they called? A memorabilia store?
Oh.
Right? Like, what are they called? Like, people just come in, they trade in their stuff for money, and it's not a thrift shop, right?
I'm blanking on it as well.
Stores to sell.
Pawn shop.
Yeah. So he's at a pawn shop, and some guy at the pawn shop is like, oh, yeah, he apparently used to be part of the military. And he gets sold by this guy with kind of not a little heavy looking.
Yeah.
Who has a lot of cats, which, by the way, that guy that buys G.I. Robot, I caught it when I heard his voice. It's Michael Rooker.
Oh, shit.
You know, James Gunn does movies with him all the time. He was in Guardians, right?
Yeah.
As Yondu.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was also in The Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of the villain that he plays, but he was like just throwing the ball around, killing a bird in the beginning of the movie.
No, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this guy that buys G.I. Robot is own... it looks... They show like how he seems to just be a really big World War II fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has all this memorabilia from World War II, and he lives with a bunch of cats, and they show them watching World War II movie, and he turns to G.I. Robot, and he's like, oh, isn't this nice to have a family? And I was like, oh, that's so... Like, it's so nice. Like, I wonder how this... Like, I'm like, how does this guy die?
Yeah.
Because I'm... Or, like, how does he lose G.I. Robot? And he brings G.I. Robot... He's like, oh, I'm taking you to a place with people like us, people that want to change the world for the better or whatever. And I was like, okay, that sounds it.
Yeah.
And when they show up at this, like, meeting, like, I already had a feeling of what it was. I kind of expected it already.
Right.
But it's revealed that it's a far right, like, neo-Nazi meeting. And then G.I. Robot fucking looks at it, and then he goes, Nazis. And then he gets up, takes out his gun, and just points it at Michael Rooker's character,
mm-hmm.
and says, goodbye, Nazi, and just shoots him. And he starts killing everyone in the room. That was crazy. And I sat there, and I was like, holy shit.
And now you know why he's in incarceration.
Yeah, you find out that's why he got incarcerated, because
he
essentially killed everyone. And he doesn't seem bothered by the incarceration, though.
No, I mean, he's chilling.
Yeah, he just sits there. Like, he doesn't really do anything.
That's all.
But that you find out that's why he's incarcerated. And then, like, cutting back to current time... I love the interaction with Rick Flagg Sr. and the bride when he rips off the tape from her mouth, because she's screaming. They're like, where are they? And they like, are they in the, it's like they rip it off, and he's like, they had this bickering moment where he's like, then why are you screaming? He's like, I wanted you to get the tape off my mouth.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
And then G.I. Robot goes up, finds Nina, because the bride's like, they took Nina upstairs. I don't know where she is, but she's upstairs. You find Nina in the bathtub, and G.I. Robot just rips off the metal wirings that's like covering the tub so Nina can't get out. And that's when you realize it's all a setup, because they realize like, oh, this was just a distraction so they can get to the princess.
Yeah.
So they like book it back to the car. G.I. Robot literally carries Nina in the bathtub, puts her in the back, and they drive all the way back to the castle, and then it cuts to the castle where there's already a shootout going on, and I was so scared for the princess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I was scared, because the soldier that comes in to tell the princess, like, we're being attacked, like, we gotta get you out of here, he straight up gets cut, like blown up in front of her. And then she runs for a bit, runs down a hall, and then she runs to one big dude who tries to basically rape her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? And then, the whole thing with the princess, I got so scared that she was going to die in that moment. And she runs back to her bedroom, she locks the door, and she essentially grabs a gun and... shoots both of the guys that were chasing her. And then, but Cersei comes in, which was really scary.
I mean, honestly.
But we also, I'm jumping around a lot, but it's just because I think it's just so much happens.
Yeah.
In different points, like different parts of the story, right? Different points happen. Yeah. So it's kind of hard, like when you're talking about the princess. It's kind of hard to not just keep talking about the princess and then jumping back to whatever was happening. But back to like Rick Flag and the gang, I guess this is before the princess shoots the two guys that were chasing after her. Rick Flag and the gang show up at the castle, and they're kind of just like hiding under a fountain. And I just heard Rick Flag's teacher is like, oh no, G.I. Robot's like, he's like, General, are these Nazis? He's like, yes, G.I., they're Nazis. And then he just starts shooting everyone. Like, he straight up kills everyone. Like, G.I. Robot shoots all the bad guys, and he starts floating up in the air and shoots. And he starts, if I remember correctly, he kind of laughs.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, what, 70 years, really, for actual killing?
Yeah, so he shoots all the villains that are, like, around, that are kind of surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
But Cersei shows up, and she shows up because she blows up G.I. Robot.
Yeah. Oof.
She blows him up. Nina's very heartbroken about it. I don't know if Nina's in love with G.I. Robot or what, or she just saw him as like her closest friend.
Friendship, yeah.
Maybe that, yeah. But yeah, so he gets blown up, and they see Cersei going after the princess.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember Nina going up to G.I. Robot holding his head. And he's like, Nina. He's like, look, he says something about them killing Nazis together. Like, look at us. Oof. Isn't it glorious?
That got me, man.
Yeah, it was really sad. Like, he's just like, even though he's technically not human, you still feel like.
Of course, yeah.
I feel like G.I. Robot's, he's trying to relive the glory days in that sense, right?
I mean, that's the only thing he's programmed for.
Yeah. And then kind of cutting back to the castle with the princess and Cersei. I for sure thought the princess was going to die at that point, because Cersei like threw her through like her drawer, like threw her through it. And I thought at least like a piece of wood would stab her or something. But no, she's like threw her around and stuff and was about to blast her. And suddenly Weasel shows up.
Of course, it's fucking Weasel.
Which I was surprised about that Weasel was actually hurting her. Because, you know, she's not like Wonder Woman, who's half or full, whatever, created from Zeus, from sand or whatnot.
Well, yeah, she's like a god, like a half goddess, like a demigod.
Yeah. So that, okay, that makes sense then, actually.
Yeah, so she just knows magic.
That is true. Because I when I hear Amazonian, I think my mind automatically assumes
demigod.
Yeah, demigod. Like Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay, now that you say that makes sense, because Weasel was like, he attacks her, scratches her up, and he starts fucking eating her. Like, he starts biting into her, like ripping off.
Anyway, that's Weasel.
And then, oh, you know what I really like? Dr. Phosphorus, where he like stabs a guy with his hand.
Yeah,
he's like, shit, come on. He just burns him up. Yeah, and because Dr. Phosphorus shows up, because Weasel basically attacks Cersei,
mm-hmm.
and they fall from the building all the way, like from the window all the way down to the first floor. And then Dr. Phosphorus comes up, and he says something before he does it, but he says something, and then he grabs her face and just like burns her face.
Yeah,
that was, I thought when that happened, I was like, don't tell me they killed Cersei already.
Amen. Episode 4, new feeling.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I was like, oh damn, they'd kill her already. You know, there's only 7 episodes, so this is gonna go by quick.
I mean, honestly, yeah, I thought they were, yeah, okay, so this is like middle of the season right now.
Yeah, already.
Wow.
But yeah, so that it kind of just ends right there. So I'm very curious about what's going to happen in episode 4, because I didn't sit through the whole credits, but I don't think they showed any hints of what's next, did they?
I didn't sit through the whole credits either.
So if they did,
wait, did they do it on episode 2?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Marvel.
But yeah. But I will say, so far, really enjoying the show.
Oh yeah, dude, that's great.
And it does make me it does excite me for what James Gunn is doing with the whole DCU, how he's gonna set it up.
Yeah.
You know, Superman. Yes, I'm actually really excited for Superman. It's more so a couple things, just because like the guy that they got to play Superman, David Cornsweet, he's a Juilliard trained actor.
Ooh.
So that to me makes me think of who, you know, the last Juilliard trained actor we had to play Superman, Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited in that sense, because I feel like because he's Juilliard trained, he's going to bring a lot of, you know, sensibilities. Yeah. That I really liked Henry Cavill as Superman, because I felt like physically he looked the part.
Oh, yeah.
And during certain moments, he played the part really well. But I just think it's more so the writing. They never really gave a Superman the time to like be that that person of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with this Superman coming out, from what I've seen with James Gunn, he says the tone for each movie isn't going to be the same tone. Like Batman's tone is not going to be Superman's tone. The tone is what fits the movies. Like whatever is needed for those movies, that's what the tone is going to be. So I'm very excited to see what James Gunn does with Superman, just because I think he's going to bring back the Superman that, you know, saves a cat from a tree.
Exactly.
Just because someone asked, you know, like there's a clip I saw, not a clip, but like someone had like they were like when they were shooting Superman, someone from far away with their cell phone was like catching it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene where like superheroes land and they're walking by and there's a group of kids like standing there with like all these adults, and so the kids are just standing there as all these superheroes walk by. I guess they just defeated something or whatnot. And then when Superman starts like lands and starts walking by too, the kids all run up to him.
Oh,
and he picks up one of the kids and he like carries them and walks with the kids as they all follow along.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want. I because Superman for me has always been my favorite superhero.
Yeah. No.
And well, like it's like this. Like Superman is my favorite when it comes to DC.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America is my favorite when it comes to Marvel.
Same colors.
No, it's because of the personalities. No, I'm like saying, Superman.
They have the same colors.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so like for me, Superman is the type of person that he's a regular person who just wants to do good.
Yeah.
He just wants to contribute to the people. Like he doesn't care if you're rich or poor, if you've committed crimes in the past, he does not care. He just wants to help you in the moment that when you need it. And that's what I want to see. And I'm very excited for it. And I'm very excited for after seeing Creature Commandos, what James Gunn has already done. I forgot to mention this. The girl that voices Cersei.
Yeah.
She plays Yennefer in The Witcher.
Oh. Interesting.
I just thought it was funny. I was like, oh, because she worked with Henry Cavill.
Yeah, right. Hey, Superman.
He was Superman.
And he was.
I mean, he'll always be Superman for sure. Like, he's now in part of this historical, like, lycon of all these people that have played this character.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Brandon Routh.
Yeah, Brandon Routh. Is it Routh or Ruth?
That's probably Routh, actually.
Christopher Reeve, Brandon Routh, Henry Cavill, and then David Cornsweet, live action films.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you have the television shows that had live action, right? Yeah. So you have, what's his name? You have Dean Cain, who no one really remembers. Did you ever? It's from the '90s show Superman and Lois.
Yeah, I did actually.
Oh no, Lois and Clark. Lois and Clark.
Yeah, Lois Clark. That was a good one.
Yeah. So, which now that I think about it, Dean Cain looks very Asian, which makes sense because he's half Japanese.
Oh.
He never had like the blue eyes. He has like brown eyes.
Yeah, that's funny.
but yeah, so it's Dean Cain, and then there was actually another there.
Tom Wellington.
There's a Tom Wellington, Small and then film. there is a show recently that just came out. Let me see. Oh shit!
Yeah, on the CW.
Well, give me one second. I accidentally clicked something that made my screen like just super big, and I'm like, "How do I close this now?"
Oh god, technical difficulties.
Yeah. What's his name? From Superman and Lois. Tyler Hoechlin.
Okay, yeah.
Because he was playing Superman from the Arrowverse.
Yeah.
And then decided to give him his own TV show, which if no one has seen that TV show yet, I recommend giving it a watch.
Really?
It is. It's really good.
Okay.
They set it up as its own universe.
Well, yeah.
So it's not taking place in the Arrowverse. And it's, it had originally, it was going to be on HBO Max.
Oh.
But they decided to just put it on CW.
Yeah.
But it has HBO Max money.
Yeah, I like that.
So production, everything looks pretty top tier. And the beginning of that show is great. Like the first episode, the way they introduced Tyler Hoechlin's character as Superman, like how, like his life is great. It's what you want to see in Superman. But also, the show, that series just ended this year.
Yeah.
Because of James Gunn and Peter Safran. Apparently, James Gunn and Peter Safran didn't want that show to get canceled.
Oh.
Because originally, Superman and Lois was going to be 7 seasons.
Yeah.
But it was more the heads of Warner Brothers themselves.
I mean, dude, they wanted a lot.
They wanted to cancel it because they wanted to kind of have a fresh start, have only one universe, which is the DCU now.
Yeah, kind of like Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this also excites me for the Green Lantern TV show.
Yeah.
Did you hear they already cast? They casted John Stewart already.
Who?
It's he is an actor that's currently, he now voices Mufasa in the new Mufasa animated movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he is also in Rebel Ridge.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, so yeah, for that one, are they going to do like a 3-man Green Lantern or just John Stewart?
So it's John Stewart and Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
It's going to be like True Detectives.
Buddy Cop.
Sort of vibe. And it's going to be them investigating something in Middle America.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
So apparently, I remember when James Gunn had announced that the show, the idea is they're investigating something that leads to a larger reaching villain that's part of the DCU. Like that basically kind of, I think my assumption is that leads to what creates the Justice League.
Yeah. Ooh.
So Aaron Pierre
plays
John Stewart. But yeah, this show, I mean, when do you want to review? I guess we'll review it 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. What do you want to do for the next couple episodes?
Since we did a mid one right now, we could do like the 7th one when that comes out.
Okay, sounds good. So far, what would you rate it?
I mean, so far?
Yeah.
I'd probably give it an 8.
I think I'm around that with you. 8. Yeah. 8, or if I think episode 3... I really liked, so I think I might bring it up to 8.3, 8.4.
Okay.
Not exactly 8.5 yet, but right. I do enjoy it.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's very fun, and I'm excited to see the rest.
Yeah, same. Very excited. But yeah, that's our review. We finally finished.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, damn, an hour in.
Yeah, but yeah, if you haven't seen it, I mean, obviously people have probably saw this. But I mean, definitely give it a watch if you haven't seen it, even though we spoiled a lot already. Like, just give it a watch. We won't review it again until the 7th episode, so watch it with us.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I guess we'll see everyone again next time when we're back reviewing the 7th, like, all up 4, 5, 6, and 7?
7, yeah. 4. Yeah,
that's going to be like 2 hours.
Dude, I know. You have to recap every episode.
Well, I'm recapping just so we have something to talk about.
But I'm like, we don't have to recap for that long.
But yeah, I guess we'll see everyone next time when we do it.
Cool. See you on the next one. Ciao.
Yeah. Bye.